Welcome to Examining Scripture. We seek to encourage believers in Jesus Christ to drink from the Word of Life. As God's revelation to mankind, we want to demystify the Bible and help you find what God has to say about the circumstances you're facing. We're not pastors or theologians. We're sinners just like you who, by the grace of God, have come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. If we can thirst for Scripture, so can you. Hi, I'm your host, Bob Redd, along with co-host Nancy Carmichael. Thank you for joining us in another episode of Examining Scripture. Welcome. For those of you who've listened to the first three episodes will know that what has become Examining Scripture came out of a four-part series originally aired on the Eastern Hills Church website. This is part four of that series. I hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to the Immeasurably More podcast. We are closing in on a four-part series that we're calling Searching the Scriptures. My name is Nancy Carmichael, by the way. I am your host, and I'm here with Bob Redd, who is a great friend here at Eastern Hills Church, and more importantly, he's a man after God's heart. He's been with us for this series because he is passionate about encouraging and equipping anyone who wants to know the heart of God better to do so by searching the Scriptures. So we're closing out this series today, episode number four. Can you believe this, Bob Redd?
I really can't. A bit bittersweet in the sense that this has been a lot of fun, and I've enjoyed the time. And it's been wonderful, and I hope it's been edifying and helpful to the listeners.
Me too, and I believe so. I'm going to answer for them and say, yes, of course it has been. So let's do this before we jump into the content for episode four. Let's do it. Can we do a quick recap? I bet you can.
Yeah, so episode one was looking at Scripture, if we're going to search the Scripture. We want to understand what about it, and what about it is it's God's truth, and it is sufficient because the author is God. Yes, the author are human beings that wrote it, and it is God who inspired them to write what they wrote with their own pen, with their own personality. And that's why as we read it, we kind of can see in it the different personalities of the writer. But in the end, there is one author, and that is God through the Spirit. The second episode focused on, if God wrote all of this, like any other literature, like any other book or series of books, what's it say? And what it says, what the Bible is God's revelation to mankind about himself. And so logic suggests that if there is this compilation of reliable historical literature and it's claimed by God to be his revelation to us about himself, we'd be really smart to read it. We'd be really smart to try and incorporate it into our lives because a part of what it tells us is he created us. And he created us, unlike all other things created, in his image. And then episode three was, given those two facts, how do we really apply it to, first, our relationship with God, and second of all, our relationship with each other? And that's what this fourth podcast is all about.
Okay, excellent recap. So I'm really excited to get into this today. But first, we've been getting to know you throughout these podcasts. And by the way, if you're just joining us for number four, stick around. It's going to be a great conversation, but I encourage you, go back and listen to these other three because there's lots of good stuff there. So having said that, we've been getting to know you in little dribs and drabs, bits and pieces throughout this whole series. We've heard your story. We've heard, a little bit of your background. So that's a teaser. I'm not going to give all that away. You got to go back and listen. But today I want to continue this. There's a dual purpose here. Get to know you, but also some bonus practical material for people. Because I've noticed something about you, and I've known you for a while. When you're talking about, these verses, you'll cite 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, or Thessalonians 5. you're not reading out of a book. You're just saying it. So it's all in there. So you've memorized quite a bit of scripture.
I have. And what's interesting about that, so when I was younger, I'm the youngest of my family. And my brothers coming up before me were a part of a Masonic order for kids. So, you know, you had the Masons, I think it was. And then you had, my mother was a part of something else. Maybe it was called Eastern Star or something. And then for the young girls, they had,
something. They had something.
Something.
Something and, just for the girls.
And for the guys, they had De Molay. And what was really...
That sounds like a fancy French dish.
It is. Well, actually, it came off of this guy named Jacques De Molay. And, you know, I'm not advocating it, trust me, because... well, I won't go into what I feel about the Masonic Order or anything
like that.
Yes,
that's another episode.
Whole different thing. But it's pertinent in this discussion because to become a, if you will, to rise up in the quote-unquote positions of this society.
Organization.
Organization, you had to memorize. Mm. And I didn't rise. I had no yeast. Because I couldn't memorize anything.
So, again, you weren't born with all the scriptures just in your head?
Yeah, imagine that. And I thought it was interesting that, you know, we have gifts. We have different levels of skills, right? That's what I call gifts. And I thought that just wasn't me. I didn't have it in me to memorize.
Not your gift. Oh, well, right?
You're done, right?
Yep.
And so why do I bring that up? Well, as Nancy says, I couldn't tell you how many scripture verses I have in my head, but there are quite a few. And I will always, not always, I'll many times get people coming up to me and saying, you know, I wish I could memorize verses from the Bible, but I can't.
But I don't have that gift. Oh, well.
Not going to try. And what's interesting is I will then ask them, do you know what's commonly known as the Lord's Prayer, or I guess why we better cite it as the Disciples' Prayer?
Mm-hmm. The Our Father.
That's right, Our Father who art in heaven. And they'll go, yeah, of course I know that. I said, well, you now know Matthew 6, 9 through 14.
Nice. See, I see what you did there.
And they're like, really? I said, yeah, now go look it up. And okay, you maybe don't know 14, but you know 9 through 13.
Mm-hmm.
And they're surprised. And it's an encouragement. And they come back to me and said, well, I guess I do know scripture. I said, well, you know one.
Yep. So do this again. All right. So you, as you said, you didn't have the gift. And yet you somehow surpassed that deficit, if you will. And now you know it. So this is what I want to ask you. For those that are struggling, well, I'm not a good memorizer, so I guess I can't. What did you do? How have you memorized all this scripture?
Right. Well, so this is back to, we tried to make this practical, right? And so the first thing I would say is if you're going to memorize scripture, pick one version. As we know, the Bible has many, many, many versions. Pick one you're comfortable with. And when I say you're comfortable with, that it's easy for you to read if you were reading it silently or aloud, and that it's more comprehensible. Some Bible versions, like the old King James Version with the old English, is very difficult. And so if you're trying to memorize something like that using words that we don't particularly use anymore or as much anymore, it's going to be more difficult to memorize. So number one, settle on one particular version of the Bible. The second thing I would do is when you're doing it, it matters if you're reading it from a paper copy Bible or if you're reading it from your phone or if you're reading it from an iPad or a tablet or from your laptop. The point here is This is very, very interesting and hard to believe, but if you read from the same configuration, the same thing all the time. So for me, I read from my iPad usually, and I read in the landscape mode. What happens is when you go to memorize, when you try to recite it and remember it, you'll actually visually see it in your mind as to where the sentence breaks on a page.
Yep, I know this trick. Yes, you're right. You're right. Because like, okay, I know it was here. It was on the right column. And I wrote a little note, so I remember it. Yeah, so it's I don't know if that would be a mnemonic device, but it is something that sticks in your head.
It does. And if you're flipping back and forth between a paper Bible and from maybe a landscape mode of a tablet and then to your phone and a portrait mode, you're making it harder on yourself.
Yeah. I think that's excellent. Well, so the principle here, if I could distill what you said, the principle is consistency, right?
Absolutely.
So you want to stick with the same version, at least for purposes of memorizing, right? Because it's going to be the same wording, right? And then stay consistent even with what Bible you're reading, whether it's digital or, like you said, a hard copy. Because I believe you probably know this one by heart. Faith comes by hearing, right?
Amen.
And hearing by the word of God. So the principle basically is, hey, anybody who's walked into a store that has like the music playing, and it might even be a song that you hate, but you've heard it a billion, kajillion times. You find yourself like humming along, or like you know the words to this song that you don't even like because you've heard it so many times.
That's right. And what Nancy just said was faith comes by hearing that right. from the word of God. That's John 10:17. And that's another thing that's important in memorization. You want to always recite what you're memorizing. So in Nancy's case, she recited scripture and she knows it's John 10:17.
Oh, I can't believe I'm going to do this. I'm going to correct you because I thought when you said that, it's actually Romans.
I'm sorry, Romans.
It's Romans 10:17.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Yes. Romans 10:17. Thank you.
But you had the 10:17 right. So
yeah, yes, I did. Yeah. We're just flying here.
We're
so.
Full of grace, but Bob, you do know your word, and it is important. So, and I will freely tell you, like, I have a lot of scripture memorized just by pure exposure. I don't always know the address, so that is a weakness of mine. So that's just full disclosure.
And it is important because you'll notice Nancy recognized right away that I didn't have it right. And it's not that you have it right, it's that you know it. And and the reason is because you want to point other people
right
that's, to that scripture.
That's the whole point. It's not about, well, I know that it's Romans. The point of it, like at the end of the day, what's important is faith comes by hearing.
Amen.
And hearing by the word of God. And it's the essence, it's the spirit of the law, right?
That's right.
Rather than just the pure letter of the law, because it's what we take away. It's what transforms us. The address doesn't transform us, but it does help us to know how to find it.
Well, and that's an important point, and 2 points there. Number one, the address is not from God.
Right.
All right? So the address, and what we mean by that is these chapter breaks, the verse breaks, and so forth, in the original manuscripts didn't exist. Think of it like a book. When you read a book, you may have a chapter break, but you don't have paragraph numbers and all of that as we have in the Bible. Us humankind, put that in later after the fact, and it was for this very purpose.
Right, for reference.
That we could reference it. Yep. And so when I was talking correctly to someone saying, I can't memorize, and I ask them about the disciples or the Lord's Prayer, and they recite it to me, and then I say, okay, you just read or you just recited Matthew 6:9-13, in this case.
Right.
14 has a little addition to it. They're able to go there and see for themselves, oh, I guess I do know something.
Wow, yeah.
Whereas if I just said, well, that's in the Bible, they'd say, oh, really? Well, I guess that's why I go to church services and people use that. Well, it wouldn't have hit home the way
because it does. You can search it for yourself, right? Searching the scriptures. I think I've heard that term a few times around here.
Being a Berean.
So, and I think that's so important because the bottom line is whatever you hear the most of, you're going to pick it up. Even in my example of the song that you hate in the store, if you hear it enough, it's going to get in there. And that's so I'm going to this is today's rabbit trail is my interpretation of that Romans 10:17 scripture is, you know, faith comes by hearing. So we believe whatever we hear the most of, even if we don't think, oh, I'm not paying attention, right? Well, if you hear it over and over and over and over and over again, it's going to get in your head. And you might say, well, I don't believe that. I don't like that. But it does change the way you think when something gets in there and you find yourself regurgitating it, right? So I say that because the second part of that phrase is, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
So in other words, whatever you hear the most of, it's going to get in your head.
That's
right? But let's finish the sentence. But if you want faith, like true faith that is life-giving, that is transforming and changing, it's by the word of God. So in other words, everything that we expose ourselves to, if it's over and over and over again, we're not immune to it. We're not immune. And that goes for everything, for music, for media, for this, you know, and that's a whole other podcast. So we can't fool ourselves and think, well, I don't pay attention to the words. I just like the music or whatever. No, if it's in your head, it's going to affect the way you think.
It will.
So why not the word of God, which are words of life?
That's so true. So the other thing that's interesting about memorization is the construction of, if you will, the Bible and the way in which it will reveal itself to you. And I can tell you that I happen to have what's known as a Catholic Bible. And the beauty of the Catholic Bible is it has a set of documents that they're called the Apocryphal.
Yep.
And these documents are sort of documents that were between the Old and the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And what's really, really nice about reading those is they kind of read like a history book. But if you're reading scripture and you put and layer something next to it that really isn't sanctioned, meaning it's not the word of God, mm-hmm. like the apocryphal history books are, or you can see just the power of the word of God.
Selah, another biblical term, right? So ponder that one. So this is so helpful. And again, very practical. This is kind of bonus material, but I think it just really dovetails beautifully with what we're talking about, right? What do we do with this? How is it going to impact not just my life? Because, I'm interested in my life, but I'm here for a greater purpose than that. It's not all about me, because if I really want to find my life, I lose it in Jesus, right? And I do what he's asked me to do, which is to make disciples of all nations.
That's right.
That's ultimately the end of it all, right? To glorify God, to enjoy him forever, includes what's on his heart. And what is on his heart is spreading this to everyone else who has ears to hear and a heart that longs to know him.
That's right. And our church is walking into this new season, and I'm not talking about spring here, but this new season.
Well, the spring's coming.
Of Zume. And Zume really fits with what we're talking about here today.
Okay, wait. Wait a minute. We haven't talked about this yet. Oops. I know we did last episode, but no, I'm glad you brought it up. But let's, what is this Zume of which you speak?
Yeah, so a lot of times as believers in Jesus Christ, we tend to think of ourselves as consumers, which means we come to church and we sit in the pews or we sit in the benches or we sit in chairs or whatever we're sitting in, and we listen to our pastors and our leaders exposit on the Bible, hopefully, preferably.
Mm-hmm.
and to explain to us what that particular scripture reading is, and maybe even provide a bit of an application to it, right? So in that sense, we're consumers. But really, that's part of our call. Don't get me wrong, it's very useful. We're meant to congregate. We want to congregate, and we want to be lifted up by our biblical leaders in all cases. But we also have a second responsibility, and that second responsibility is that this sharing the good news, the gospel, is not just the role and the duty of our pastors. It's the duty and the role of absolutely every believer in Jesus Christ.
Well put. So, yeah. So I'll go so far as to say, yeah, that first part, that consumption that you speak of, because in some ways that can be like a dirty word. Oh, you're just a consumer. So, yeah, if that's all we are, then that's not enough. But it is a starting point because, as we know, you know the scriptures, right? That we can't even love God except that He first loved us. So we have to. We are in a position. We have no other choice. Well, I guess we can choose not to, but that would be a stupid choice. But because of our position, because we have nothing to offer, because our righteousness on our own is as filthy rags, we have no other choice but to receive. We have to receive. We have to consume.
Amen.
Because if we don't, we have nothing to offer. So
that's right.
That is our starting point. So let's not make
it
any mistake about it. Let's not, try to sanitize it. No, we are consumers of Jesus.
Yes.
Because if we're not, then if righteousness could be gained by observing the law, right, in our own power, by our own merit, then what do we need Jesus for, right? Christ died for nothing.
And if we're doing it right, we are consumers of Christ each and every waking day.
That's right. That's right. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that is the starting point. But as you also said, that is not the ending point. If that's all we do, then we're going to get bloated, right? Because we can't just keep expanding, consuming, just like food, right? The food is there for a purpose. Yes, we enjoy it. Yeah. Eat to live, live to eat. There's a whole debate there, but the food is there to give us fuel to go out and live, right? To live and move and have our being.
Well, I think that is a fantastic analogy. I thought you were going to say is, having been fed, we then have to exercise our faith.
We do, yeah. So we exercise it, right? Because that keeps us healthy. But we also, just to even get up out of bed, things that we take for granted, to just walk down the stairs, to get in our cars, to go for a walk, to cook dinner, all of that is fueled.
It is, and as we exercise our faith, and what I'm saying, what Nancy and I are saying about exercising our faith is sharing it with other people. That's sharing it with people who don't understand the gospel, people who don't know God. And it's also sharing it with people who do, who have come to faith, but maybe they're new Christians, or maybe they don't have as much experience in their faith. And so it is incumbent upon us to share that faith. And when we do that, what we find, and this is our human nature, we don't want to be buffoons. So we have to know what we're talking about before we can. It's the old adage, if you're going to teach something, you always learn more than you need because you want to be prepared. And for us, what is exercise? It's repetition. It's being able to be stronger, right? And the more we exercise our faith by sharing it, we become stronger, stronger in our knowledge, stronger in our confidence. And what we also recognize is that we're asked pretty difficult questions we can't answer. And what do? We go try and find the answer. We go get the answer so that we learn something ourselves.
Yes. That's exactly it. So since we're here camping out on this word exercise. So, exercise is one of those terms that I think can have different, it can look different for every person, right? Because for some people, it depends on your, you know, your physical limitations, your mobility, your health, all of that. But so for some people, exercise is a marathon, right? So I'm going to, or Ironman or something crazy.
Triathlete.
Yeah, like, you know, some crazy tough mudder experience. And for some people, exercise is, well, you know, if I can just get out of bed. Or maybe, you know, you've got some physical limitation that you can't walk or that you, you know, you can't move in ways that other people. But it's still the same principle. We eat because it fuels us to live. To live,
yeah.
Whatever that, and it's going to look different person to person to person.
It will.
So I think sometimes, and I'm saying this out loud because part of me needs to just hear it said so that I remind myself that if I start to look at somebody else and say, oh, I guess I'm not doing it because I'm not doing it like them. It doesn't look exactly like them. I'm missing my own application. Right?
You are, yes.
Right? You know, and the principle is do something. You move. We live and we move and we have our being. We're not called to just constantly take in without some sort of action, right? And again, I don't want to distill this. I don't want to turn this into a should. I'm not a fan of, well, you really should. If you were good, you should do this, you should do that. Well, there's truth there. But we're talking about more than just a list of things that you should do or shouldn't do. It all goes back to our relationship with Jesus.
It does.
Right? Because if I'm seeking him and I'm finding him and he's changing me, then I should is the last thing on my mind. Because if I'm really transformed, the natural outcome is it's going to come out of me somehow. It has to, because where else? I can't keep all this in for myself. I've got to share this.
Right. And really what you're talking about is kind of segues into our practical statement for this podcast. You're talking about an authenticity, right? And we're not talking about picking up a Bible and throwing it out at somebody, which is sort of the physical equivalent of someone like me just espousing Bible verses to impress someone. That's not what it's about. No, today's practical statement is that, you know, if we talked last time about, you know, what is then our responsibility to God? The question is, what is our responsibility to our fellow mankind? And, you know, the answer to that is really part of what our responsibility is. And what our responsibility is to people. So our responsibility is to become ever more Christ-like. If you truly are a follower and a believer of Jesus Christ, then the world becomes less important to you. That doesn't mean you don't work in it. That doesn't mean you can't. You shouldn't earn money. What we're saying is that you want to sin less, and when you sin, it impacts you more. And so you want to demonstrate genuinely Christ-like behavior in the world, and that in and of itself is a witness to the world, both those who know God and don't, that you're different. And different, I don't mean in a negative way. I mean in a very positive way. And then the second part of that actually is the mission statement for our church, which is engaging every person, not some people I like and some only the ones I like, but every person to be a passionate follower of Jesus Christ. That's a mouthful. But that's what we're called to do if we truly, truly want to be like Christ.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm gonna interject this question because I think, to me anyway, this is the paramount question where we have to start to even get into what you're talking about. And the question is this: do I want to share what I have?
Well, the answer is, back to the authenticity I'm talking about.
Right.
If you really, truly believe that you know and have a personal relationship with the Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and you know the power of that relationship in your own life, why would you want to keep it for yourself?
And that's where I think this is a good time for all of us to get introspective. You know, don't stay there. Don't camp out there. But, and actually, I'm going to revise my own statement. Don't just get introspective. This is a good one to take to Jesus. It's a good conversation to have, because that answer to that question, do I want to share what I have, speaks to why. Because if I answer that question, well, of course I want to share, then that speaks to what you just said. Well, yeah, because I have this, I've been changed. Jesus has changed my life. I'm a different person. I'm a new creation. I'm brand new. And I just want to share that because it's too good for me to keep to myself. That's one way. But I think it's also important to answer honestly, well, maybe I don't. And why is that? Why is that? And it's not for you and I to answer that question for anybody else. That's an important question to take back to Jesus. Well, why? Why don't you want to share it? Because what does that say? You know, because I'll own this myself. If there are times when if I'm being really honest, I know what the right answer is. I've used this analogy several times, but never on this podcast. So here we go. You know, when I was younger in my grade school years, you take math, right? Addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, all that. And at least back in the day, I don't know how it is now, but anytime you wanted to, you could go to the back of the book and the answers were there. Maybe it was odd numbers or even numbers, but you could look up the answers. Oh, they're there. That's great. I don't know how to get there, but the answers are there. And I think of this often in life because as a Christian, I can tell you I have a fairly good understanding of what Scripture says. I have a fairly solid basis of, yeah, I know what the right answers are. I do. It doesn't mean I know how to get there. And this is so important as we enter into this discussion, or we're right in the middle of it, to don't skip over that process. Because I know, yes, of course I should be sharing my faith. Of course I know that's the Great Commission. That's what I should be doing. But if there's something going on in my heart, yeah, but I don't really want to. Why? Why? So don't skip over that conversation with Jesus, because in that conversation, there's something for you to learn of his heart.
Oh, absolutely. And with that, let me try and take the pressure off of any of you thinking out there in that way, in that context. So when we talk about engaging every person, let's first understand that engaging a person is just being authentic in who you are. Mm. Now, we all know how to be ourselves, good, bad, or indifferent. And if we're truly walking with Christ and our desires to be more like him, then our general behavior, our everyday behavior, how we carry ourselves, is so important, and it is in and of itself a witness. I've had someone one time say to me, you know what? You don't swear. And I do on occasion. I hate to admit it, but I do. And when I do, it resonates in the back of my brain, and it hurts. Back to what I said, when you sin, if you're moving more and more to Christ-likeness, mm-hmm. when you do sin, it affects you more. And that's how you know you're growing in your faith. It's not that you won't ever sin. Of course, we are in, as long as we're in this body on this earth.
Right.
We will sin.
Right. But it's no longer the truest part of who we are, and we know it.
That's right. Right.
And we know it. Something, that's not who I am. And right. it bothers us when we do those things. I hear you.
So your witness at work, in the coffee shop, wherever you are, is the beginning point. Mm-hmm. And that should take some pressure off of you to say, you know, I don't have to be a Bible thumper. You know, my wife one time, we were on a holiday in the middle of a city, and there was someone on a soapbox who was kind of like John the Baptist. He was shouting at people, repent, you know, God is at hand. And, you know, Diane made the comment, you know, I don't know why they do that. And I said to her, I said, well, you know, there's somebody out there that needs to hear that message that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, there's many other that may say, you know, this is giving, preaching the gospel a bad rap. But we all have a message. We all have it, unique way to deliver it. And there's someone out there that needs to hear it exactly the way you're going to share it.
That is such an excellent point. Let's stay here for just a moment because, yeah, there are some people say, oh, why are they doing it that way? But like you said, there's someone that needs to hear it. Conversely, you know, we could look at someone and say, well, I can't do that, so I guess I'm not really sharing my faith. And to both of those scenarios, it's like, you're not called to be everybody else. You're called to be who you are, to the people in your life. And if God's telling you to do so-and-so, to, you know, to stand outside a coffee shop with a placard or whatever, then you best be obedient to him. But don't put that on yourself. That's not, yeah, looking at other people and saying, well, if I'm not doing it the way they're doing it, then I guess I'm not doing it. No, again, that is missing the point.
That's right. We're talking back. We're back to Christ-likeness. There's nobody in the history of mankind that was more authentic.
Right. And you have an audience, you listening right now, you have an audience that nobody else has, right? I heard this in a sermon this past summer, and it's so true when you think about it. You know, you and I are talking right now, and there's an audience of people that are maybe listening wherever, right? So this is this audience. But every single person listening right now, you have people in your life that nobody else has the same access to. There might be, you know, in the concentric circles, there is spillover, but you have a unique audience.
You do. And, you know, 2 Peter chapter 3 talks about being prepared to give an account for the faith that you have.
Right.
That's witness. And if you're living an authentic life, you're going to attract people to say, you know, there's something about you, Nancy, that's different. I got to ask Nancy, why are you in the face of fill in the blank at peace? Why do you show such calm? Why are you different than the people that I am around or encounter? And that's part of her witness, is she's living her authentic life. But now when someone's drawn to that and comes to you with that question, you want to be prepared to say, what Jesus is doing in my life, what he did in my life. And some of that is actually telling how you came to Christ. Because I got to tell you, and this is my personal experience, when I was confronted that, okay, Jesus, you want me to walk away from all of this before I made that step? And then the minute I made that step to come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, I looked back and said, what on earth was I talking about? What was I giving up compared to what I gained? What was I giving up in this world that could possibly measure up to a true relationship with the true God? We have to be prepared to share.
So sharing our stories, for sure, that's a part of it. And that, now let's bring it back to searching the scriptures, right? Because this is the theme that we've been talking about these past four episodes. So, yeah, so you live your authentic life. Someone's intrigued. Why are you so happy all the time? Why are you this joyful person? Or why are you so gracious? You know, that's the point where now we have to be prepared to share, right? Like it says in 2 Timothy, you can help me with this. Always give a reason.
That's right.
Right, for the hope that we profess.
Yeah, it's 2 Peter 3.
2 Peter, he knows. I knew it was one of them. So anyway, but being able to give that reason for the hope that we profess, part of it is sharing your own personal testimony, but our personal testimony, it's going to go back. It's going to be built on the Word of God, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. That Word is Jesus. So,
Amen.
So if we want to know Jesus, we have to know the Scriptures. We have to know how to search them. So in these last, you know, few minutes, you brought up a word called zume. What is this zume? We talked about it a little bit in the last podcast, but I want to talk a little bit more about it now. So zume, what does it mean, Bob?
So it means being a sharer of the gospel.
Yes, but the literal translation, right? It's a Greek word.
Yeast.
Yeast. Zume means yeast. So why are we talking about zume? Well, we've got a really exciting opportunity for those of us that are in the Eastern Hills family, but if you're not, this is still an opportunity for you. So we want to talk a little bit about zume. It's a tool. It is a tool to do, to learn, to equip us for just what we're talking about. So Bob, I want to give you a little bit of a chance to talk about your take on it, and then we'll give a little bit of information.
Yeah, so you know, we all know what yeast is. It causes bread to rise, right? And so yeast is a facilitator, and it causes things to be lifted up, to be built up. And back to our discussion at the beginning, we are all called to share the gospel. We are all called to give an account for our faith. It's not solely in the hands of our pastors and our leaders in the church, because in fact, we all are. And so our responsibility is to be the pastor for all those we can encounter.
Right. And, you know, here's the good news in that, because the way you hear that is important, because it's not just like, well, you have to. No, it's you get to. We get to, right?
That's
so
right.
The good news is that it's not just up to, you know, the professionals, right? And we need our pastors. We need those
Amen.
Teachers, you know, and they're so helpful and a gift to us. But it isn't this mandate of, well, you really have to. It's like, no, they're equipping us to do what we get to do as transformed people that have been transformed by the person of Jesus Christ.
And in the end, yeah. It's exactly what the church has been since Christ was risen.
And it is, yeah. This is why we're here. So this Zume training, this is something we're going to be hearing a lot more about in the life of Eastern Hills Church in the coming weeks and months. So there's something actually I want to talk about, because it's about searching the scriptures. So one of the tools is, it's an acronym. We love acronyms, right? So the word SOAPS, right? S-O-A-P-S. And this is just one of the many cool tools that Zume training offers. So S stands for scripture, O stands for observation, A application, P prayer, and S sharing. And there's, I'm just giving you the outline of that, but this is one of the things, you know, scripture is a good, that we need to be reading the scripture. How do we do it in a way that is helpful? Those disciplines that you spoke of. So
that's right.
Yeah. So, we're going to be covering that in this training. Really, you talked a few moments about sharing your story. Like, you know, for some people, it's like, well, yeah, it's just as easy as opening your mouth. But I know I, you know, when you're asked to share your testimony, oh, that's a big word. Oh, it's like, well, how do I do that? How would I distill that? If I had a minute to share, you know, the elevator thing, like if I was just in an elevator and I was, you know, and I only had like less than a minute, how would I do that? Or if I had a few minutes or more. So we're going to get real practical and talk about things like that, things that are real life that you can take into your real life so that you are equipped to share this great news.
That's right. And, you know, it's interesting. You think, well, the Bible's overwhelming and I don't know the Bible as well as somebody else. But you know what? No one knows your story better than you.
Right, right. And so we're not here to invent your story. We're not, you know, this Zume thing that we're kind of landing on, this is not about, oh, one more thing you have to do. This is, hey, we just want to equip you. This is something that was actually put out, I think, by the Wesleyan denomination. It is an amazing tool, but I'm going to go back to what we've talked about several times in these four episodes. This is not just a checklist of things to do. This is in the context of your relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
And as you brought up earlier, you know, we have to be consumers to start. We have to, we need something to share.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing. In fact, there's everything right about it, because we can't share what we don't have.
That's right.
But if we just take it in and we don't share it, that's not healthy. We're not living the life that we're called to live. We're not glorifying God, and we're not enjoying Him because we're missing out on a key part of the purpose of why we're all here.
And I would say it differently and say that if we're being built up and raised up by being consumers, there comes a point where our hearts are emboldened, where we just have to share the good news.
That's right. That's right. It's just a natural outcropping. So all these things, what we've been talking about for four episodes of, well, how do you search the scriptures and how do you approach it, which is just as important as the search itself.
It is.
Right? So how do you do that? Why are we doing it? So necessary to the disciplines, because if we approach it with that attitude of thanksgiving, that attitude of glorifying God, that attitude of, yeah, I want to take all I can so that I can give it away, then we begin to really live the life that He's called us to live.
Amen. And, you know, maybe you'll have me back and we can talk more about practically how people can let Scripture speak to their hearts.
I think that would be an excellent idea. So we'll close this by letting you know that Zoomate training, you're going to hear a lot more about it in the life of our church. But if you're curious yourself, just do a Google search, Zume training. Look it up. It is free. Did I say it was free? Because it's free. So you can
look. No way.
Yeah. Yes way. It's free. You can look it up. You can explore. There's a 2-minute intro video that you can watch, but there's so many practical things. And guess what? We're going to be launching every year we do an annual small group campaign. And this year it's all going to be about what we're talking about.
And I'm a small group leader. I'm looking forward to it as well.
Awesome. 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 So check that out for yourself. And I'm going to ask Bob, because I know he's I think he's memorized this, but you know, our immeasurably more, it's built on Ephesians 3 verse 20. Bob, you want to close us out with that?
Well, it's funny because that's one I don't have memorized.
Okay. Well, and you know what? I'm going to try. This is good. This is good. You can email us in. So to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or think, to Him be the glory forever.
Amen.
Well, there you have it. We've enjoyed our conversation today and hope that you feel more equipped to examine Scripture to find what God has to say about the important circumstances you're facing in your life. Until next time, examine the Scripture, drink from the Word of Life, and let the Bible feed your spirit.